The Daily Racing Podcast from William Hill.
And they're off.
Listen to the podcast at williamhill.com/podcast.
Third festival win and the biggest one today.
Or subscribe via iTunes by searching William Hill Podcasts in the music store.
Hello and welcome to Sunday's Racing Podcast here on William Hill. I'm Sam Bridges and I'm joined by Gary Kitwell to look ahead to three races on Sunday. How are you doing, Gary?
Yeah, not so bad. Thank you, Sam. Looking forward to the race on Sunday. Obviously, it's quite a spread of racing. It's all jumps now, thankfully, so we've got some proper racing back, thankfully. But some interesting races, particularly in Ireland, I think. Some interesting graded chases. We see Fleming Star return, his first run, of course, for the Tony Martin Yard, and some interesting hurdle races as well, the Grade 3 Novice Hurdle and the Grade 2 Liz Mullen Hurdle as well. We'll get onto the Liz Mullen Hurdle later because I fancy one in that.
So, by the sound of it, doesn't sound you're too upset to see that the back end of the flat season, but what have you made of the season overall?
I think it has been a good season in general. I think my highlights would probably the estimates, her victory in the Gold Cup, I think. Seemed to sort of capture, well, it got racing again on the front pages a little bit, didn't it, with the Queen obviously winning the race for the first time. And it's the race that everybody wants to win at Royal Ascot, obviously, isn't it, the Ascot Gold Cup. Technically, I suppose it's not the biggest race of the week in terms of prize money, but it's one that all the trainers and particularly all the jockeys want to win. And it was nice that the Queen managed to do that. It's been a much of a muchness season, really, for me. The early stars haven't really gone through the whole season all the way through. Your likes of your Dawn Approaches, who sort of tapered off after those early Group 1 successes, of course. Toronado, obviously racing and winning on a few occasions, although beaten on a few occasions too. I don't know. I mean, Trev would perhaps probably also, of course, be the highlight. Mm. She was very impressive from her draw in the arc, but sort of over this side of the sea, it's been a bit of a muchness. There's been a few standout performances, but in terms of a standout performer, they've gone on and beaten each other. There's not been a horse that sort of, I suppose we were lucky really the past few seasons to have Frankel in that respect, weren't we? But there hasn't been a Frankel-esque type of horse this season, I think it's fair to say.
And in terms of standout performers, AP McCoy over the jumps, getting his 4,000th winning ride this week. What have you made of the couple of days, you know, since he did that at Torster? Plenty of coverage still about AP McCoy and his achievement. So, yeah. What have you made of the whole thing?
I think it's been good. It's been nice to see his appearing on sort of most of the news programmes. On the BBC, on ITV, etc., etc. It's again got us on the front pages as well, which can only be a good thing in terms of publicity. In terms of the long run, how many more people it gets to go racing, I suppose, is open to a bit of debate. I was lucky enough to do the call on Thursday in here, and you could just sense the sort of atmosphere that was at Toaster. We were speaking to Dave Massey, who was live on course for us, and it was a fantastic to be a part of. It would have been lovely to have been there, obviously, and to see the historic occasion. But I was there, thankfully, when he became the winning most jump jockey, because he did that at my hometown track, Uttoxeter, a few years ago. So I was lucky enough to see that, and luckily enough to call his 4,000th. And how long he goes on, I suppose, is open to a little bit of debate. I wouldn't be surprised if he's contemplating sort of retirement maybe towards the back end of next season. I think that would be my guess. I don't think 5,000 is possible, considering how that would mean he'd be riding for, what, another five maybe seasons, probably what, four probably, if you, four, once you get to this one it'll be another four seasons. Don't think he'll perhaps do that, so if he does, that would be great. I think, I'm trying to think what Sir Gordon Richards' record is, 4,600 and something, isn't it? I think that will be the next target. I suppose then after that, I suppose it might only just be another 18 months to get to 5,000, but personally I wouldn't be backing him to get the 5,000, and the knighthood will indefinitely come at some stage. Whether it comes while he's still riding or not, though, I'm not so sure.
As he said, it's back to the day job for the moment, getting away from it all. And he's in action, AP McCoy, at Navan on Sunday. Is that where you want to start with?
Yeah, we'll start with a look at the 150 race, the Les Mullen hurdle. He rides Captain Seavey, the 12-year-old maiden, I think. He rode this horse when he won the Supreme. I think he was an 8-year-old when he won the Supreme, obviously. It was quite an old, well, it's not an old horse, but in terms of winning that type of race, it is fairly old. He won last time out. I suppose he has to be respected. Likewise, Daddy Goo, who was better known as a chaser. This is perhaps a prep run for something else. Marla Beach is fast on the improve. Jetson turned out to be slightly disappointing towards the back end of last year. Those last two runs are a little bit disappointing, but as a previous course win has to be respected. Likewise in Bon Matin, but the one I go for, he's likely to be favoured, unfortunately, but I think he'll win, is Rule the World of Mouse Morris. Previous course and distance winner, was second behind the new one in the whatever it's called now. It used to be the Neptune, if it is, it's the Bingham or whatever it is now. The 2 mile 5 novice race, anyway, at Cheltenham. Disappointed at Punchestown on dreadful ground after that. You can forgive him that run. And he won here. He won at Nace, rather, I should say, on his most recent outing, and won fairly impressively. I think this will be the step up to bigger and better things, and I think he probably will end up being a world hurdle horse, I think, perhaps in time. And I think this is a nice opportunity for him to win for the second time this season.
So Rule the World at Navan in the 150. Over to Foss Lass for their 230. It's a Class 3 hurdle, handicap hurdle, over 3 miles.
Yeah, and the one I'm going to go for here, you should point out, this is going to be bottomless ground here. I'm actually going to go for the top weight, though. Victor Serenade, who loves bottomless ground. He's won at Chepstow a few times. He hasn't been seen for over a year. He disappointed at Chepstow, but that was a very good race on his seasonal debut last season. But he does go well fresh, this horse. Anthony Honeyball's horses are in good form, and he's won here twice at the track before. In fact, he's unbeaten here at the track, and ground won't come as an issue. He goes well fresh. Anthony Honeyball was sure to have him very much ready to go, I would imagine, for his seasonal debut off the back of a 393 break. That's a good thing about when you know you've got a horse coming back from a long injury. Fitness isn't going to be an issue, because connections aren't going to take any chances with the horse. So I think in a very winnable race, the likes of Abnaki, Pension Plan, Firebird, Flyer, and also Still Believe, and they all won on their last starts. Two of those come back from a break. Evan Williams' horse is traditionally improved for a run. Pension Plan, not sure he'll be completely enamoured with these conditions. I think Abnaki is actually the danger, and both the top weights are claiming a few pounds off their back, so I think that's a shrewd move. And Victor Serenade, I hope, will come out on top in the 230.
And then the final race you're going to look at is at Market Race, and it's the 245, a novice's handicap chase over 2 miles and 6.5 furlongs.
Yeah, and the one I'm going to go for here actually ran fairly recently, Green Wizard. He was fifth in a decent race at Wetherby over a trip that was a little bit shorter than this, which perhaps probably wasn't ideal for this horse. The step up in trip will suit him. He rattled off a bit of a sequence in the summer. He won twice at Yatotster. I saw him win both those times, and he also won at Wetherby. The ground will be okay for him. He wouldn't want it to get too much softer. Good to soft in places. It's usually a quick draining track anyway at Market Race, and you don't tend to get the ground too bottomless there in any case. Maldon's Picnic comes here in decent form, having won his last three starts. Again, the Kim Bailey team in good form. Golden Burst is quite interesting. Think he could be potentially fairly well handicapped for Emma Lavelle. First run this season, was running okay last season, when obviously the horses, most of the horses from the yard weren't. Rick has to be respected as well for John Ferguson. But I took a bit of a chance on Green Wizard. I was impressed with him during the summer when he went over fences. He looked like he had a horse with a bit of a future, and that run at Wetherby they'd be where he should. So he perhaps just needed the run last time out. Will have put him spot on for this. So Green Wizard in the 2:45.
So three selections there. Just quickly just wrap them up for us.
In the 1:50 at Navan, Rule the World. In the 2:30 at Force/Victor Serenade. And in the 2:45 at Market Raising, Green Wizard.
Excellent. Thanks, Gary. And good luck with our selections.
Cheers, thanks.
William Hill is committed to responsible gambling. Visit gambleaware.co.uk for more information.